The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I mentioned that James Brown, Minister for Housing, is going to be with me after 6 o'clock to talk about a few things, chief amongst them these granny flat proposals, a suggestion that planning laws be changed to allow attic conversions or garden cabins or home extensions for elderly relatives to go ahead without planning permission. Tom Phillips is with me, Managing Director of Tom Phillips and Associates and an Adjunct Associate Professor of Town Planning in UCD. Tom, what do you make of this idea?
Well, I don't agree with this, Kieran, because It's not what we need to be doing. We need to have bespoke, if you're looking at housing for the elderly, it has to be bespoke housing, not the conversion of a shed in the garden. And you have to look at the situation that architects are doubled up in knots trying to design apartments, and rightly so, that are a particular size, got dual aspect, look in two directions, that have got all the facilities of proper bespoke housing, and yet we're looking at building garden sheds in people's gardens and making possibly old people, and old, by the way, in planning in the UK is anyone above 55. So I'm 5 years beyond that stage. So I could be turfed out by my kids into the garden
shed. I have a garage I put you into,
yeah,
Tom.
Thanks, Jim. Fair play to you.
Charge a few bob.
Well, I do like Kilkenny, in fairness. But my father's from there. But no, it's just, I don't think it's right. It's like we've got bigger issues at play, and I think it's a little bit of a distraction. I think that's the kind of way I can put it. It's a distraction when should be looking at the bigger issue of stopping people from objecting to every form of housing, whether they be for Irish people or for migrants or whoever it is. Stop that situation and build houses for the people so the people can feel they can live in this country.
Yeah, so I guess when I heard this first, I thought, oh, well, what problem are they trying to solve? Are they trying to solve the housing crisis and just the lack of supply? I doubt it, because this would be rearranging the deck chairs and the Titanic to
correct,
a degree.
Yeah.
Are they trying to solve the issue of suitable housing for the elderly? And maybe that's what they are trying to do. But you would suggest that dedicated apartments is the better solution for long-term housing for the elderly, is it?
No, not necessarily apartments. Housing, bespoke housing, they have principles in the UK called HAPPI, H-A-P-P-I, Housing for Aged Population, Planning for Innovation, I think it's called. And they've got 10 principles, and those are bespoke housing units for people of 55 years or older. But we don't have it in Ireland, we don't have situations. So what we need to do is to build houses. And if you look at the Housing Commission last year, in May of 2024, they came out and said there's pent-up demand for 256,000 residential units, aside from what we need to be building every year. And you can't deal with that issue by going off on tangents about elderly housing in gardens. It's just wrong. And by the way, the thing about apartment conversions is the biggest issue about attic conversions. The biggest issues for attics is to do with the building regs and fire safety.
Yes.
So the last person you put in an attic is someone who has difficulty getting out a window in a fire. And we've got architects designing really good, bespoke, proper apartment schemes, and they're trying to make sure that they've got dual aspect. In other words, someone living in the apartment can see out to the left or to the right or east or north or south, and yet we're talking about converting garden sheds into housing. It's just wrong.
And on the issue of objections as well, there were kind of announcements on that front made about the extension of planning permissions, once something finds itself in judicial review. Mm-hmm. Did you welcome that change?
I do, but it should be retrospective, because at the moment, see, the Planning Act is being done in 24 stages. There's 600 and something sections, and it's being delivered in something like 24 stages. And the piece in it is, so you get planning permission for 5 years and 45 days. That's how long a planning permission lasts, because you get an extra 9 days per annum to do with the Christmas closure. It's kind of an anomaly. So anyway, every permission's got 5 years and 45 days. And at the moment, if somebody judicial reviews a scheme, so someone spent €2 million putting forward a scheme, it goes through appeal system, it goes through Bord Pleanála, and it's judicially reviewed, then the clock doesn't stop. So the clock is still ticking on the five-year permission, but the court could take 2 years to make that decision. So by the time it comes out the far end, and you might get your permission again at the end of it from the court, which is the third bite at the same cherry, you could find out you haven't got enough time to build your apartment scheme. And you can't extend an apartment scheme that needs an environmental impact statement or a Natura impact statement, which are two kind of EU pieces of legislation. And in the new Act, they've said, okay, the clock stops when it goes to judicial review, but it's not being done retrospectively.
Yeah.
And even worse still, it doesn't apply for 3 years, so it'll only kick in 2027.
Yeah, but
2028, actually, 2028.
Yeah, fundamentally, though, the real problem is that I can object to an apartment building in Letterkenny.
Correct, yeah. Or we had one a few years ago from somebody in Kenya,
and
with an Irish name, and we had no idea why this person was objecting to the scheme, and the address was in Kenya. So look, you can be from anywhere in the world, Botswana, Outer Mongolia, the Antarctic, and object to a scheme, and over the reason that they don't like, you think they should have 7 car spaces, not 6, and the whole scheme can be held.
And once fully implemented, will the new Planning Act deal with that?
To a degree it does, but it still allows people to object, and you pay €20 to object to a housing scheme. And we got these bizarre situations that people might be saying, oh, that's great, we can build a granny flat in our garden to house my daughter who's 27 and my mother-in-law. But they might, at the same day, they might be objecting to a proper bespoke apartment scheme or a housing scheme owned or being built next door to them.
Realistically, we're not going to hit our housing targets this year. We know that.
No, the
Central Bank and the ESRI and plenty of others have said as much. We're not going to eat into that 256,000 shortfall as well because of that. So that's going to get even bigger over the next couple of years. Unless you deal with that issue of objections, and how easy is it to object? How confident are you we'll ever get to the bottom of that?
I don't think we will, because we have the most democratic, inverted commas, planning system in Europe and possibly the world. So for €20, somebody can spend €2 million putting together an application, and somebody else who may not have liked them in school because they didn't like them on the football team or whatever can object for €20 and hold up that scheme. So it's a completely and utterly skewed system. And it's sometimes people, they mistake their right to do something, their ability to do something, they feel morally obliged to do it.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Do it. Yeah, don't have to exercise that muscle. Just relax. Don't exercise that muscle.
Tom, thanks a million as always for joining us. Tom Phillips is the Managing Director of Tom Phillips and Associates and an Adjunct Associate Professor of Town Planning in UCD. James Brown with me now, Minister for Housing and Fianna Fáil TD for Wexford. Minister, you're welcome to the show and thanks a million for joining us. Talk to me about these proposed exemptions from planning for certain developments.
So my key priority as the Minister for Housing is to maximise the delivery of homes and accelerate that delivery. If we're going to get from 30,000 homes to 50,000 and 60,000, we have to accelerate that delivery. And one of the ways to do that is to unclog our planning system. And our planning system is very much taken up with an awful lot of, I think, planning applications that could be taken out of the system. So people, for example, going for a small extension to their house, putting in a modular unit down at the back of their garden, a small granny flat, for example. And these take as much work for the planners as a major piece of work, but also for families, it's about giving them some control back over their own properties. It costs an awful lot of time and work for somebody to be able to hire an architect and then to go through that complex planning application. So we're looking at how we can maximise exemptions and in turn free up planners' time to focus on bigger applications. So this would include extensions to include, as I say, what might be known as granny flats, modular homes at the back gardens, converting your attic, splitting a house maybe into two if it's large enough, and other types of exemptions. Also, we're looking at a much wider system as well. So that's all around the housing area. But we also see, for example, with hospitals maybe having to go through a big planning application for a very minor alteration to fit in an MRI scanner, for example. We want things like that exempt. We can do it in agriculture, transport, health, education, schools getting a small extension. I used to be, for about 12 years, the chair of a board of management for a small primary school. And every time you had to get a new small extension or a porta cabin, you had to become a planning expert overnight.
Yeah.
And so did school principals. So looking at all this, unclog the system so we can focus on delivering homes.
And how many of those planning applications currently make their way through the system on an annual basis? Say those attic conversions, the granny flat in the garden, converting the shed or the garage, whatever it happens to be.
Well, I think a lot of people don't even bother applying because it's so complicated and costly to kind of look at this and go, well, am I going to do it? Some people just go ahead and do it without ever looking for the planning. And then you're in a situation where maybe the elderly parents die, you inherit the home, or you go to sell it and realise you now have to go for what's known as retention because there's been an authorised planning exemption.
I suppose what I was getting at is what numbers are you working on, say, within the department in terms of how much of the annual provision this might cover, say, in terms of extra capacity?
So typically a planning department is spending about 50% of its time on these very small extensions and 50% of their time on houses and housing schemes.
So it's not necessarily that like these units themselves are kind of how you envision supply increasing. It's rather you take them out of the planning system and the kind of the bigger supply pieces then move much more quickly through it. That's the idea,
exactly.
Is it?
Exactly. It's all about unclogging the system. We have a situation in this country and a lot of other countries where you have what's known as a county development plan. And that what that is a local authority setting out on a map what you can zone and what you can build across the county and across the country. In other countries, once that's done, it goes through public consultation. That's usually the end of it. It's just an administrative process. In this country, because we have a constitution, we're very lucky we have it, we have the common law system, often once zoning in a particular area for a particular type of housing is done, that's really only the first stage. You go for your planning, you can end up in on Bord Pleanála and in the High Court. So it's a very complicated system. We want to take as much out of it as possible to free up the system to focus on that home delivery.
The other thing that clogs the system or clogs process through the system, of course, is objections. And even after the full implementation of the Planning Act, there'll still be, you know, a very democratic system is the maybe kind way of putting it, where you in Wexford could object to something in Galway or me in Kilkenny could object to something in Letterkenny. It's madness, really, isn't it? You'd never design that system from scratch.
No, you wouldn't design that system from scratch, and it doesn't happen in most other developed countries.
And should
either.
We do something about that?
We are, and we are going to do it through the Planning and Development Act by getting rid of what's known as the leave stage. This is where somebody goes into court and asks, can I take a High Court objection? They will now have to go for the full High Court objection. Because what has been happening in the past is some people have been taking objections, not with a view that they have a good legal case, but simply by delaying a housing scheme through the courts. That in itself will cause it to
finish.
But
even before you get to that level of a High Court objection to an on Bord Pleanála decision, you can lodge an objection at fairly cheaply at the kind of initial stages to any planning application anywhere in the country.
No, you can, and anybody can object to anybody across the country. So again,
why?
Through the Planning and Development Act, we're going to be restricting who can object to somebody who has a genuine interest. So that would have to be mostly a geographical interest. You're from the area, because again, we see objections. A single person may be putting in multiple objections across the country. I think you should have to have that interest. You can't end it altogether. We have a constitution. People have a right to have a say over what they're genuinely interested in. But you're 100% right. The current system, where anybody can pretty much object to anything, it's not a viable system.
And
we are going to change it.
When do you think we'll be at the point whereby people with only possibly a geographical interest or a very narrow interest will be able to object?
So that will be happening over the coming months. We'll be making changes. The Planning and Development Act, the first stages, will be commenced at the end of this week around what's known as urban development zones, and that's an important development. And then we'll be standing up the new, commencing a new part around judicial reviews in the coming weeks as well to restrict who can take an actual judicial review, and that's where you go to the High Court and can clog up the system there. And also in the later months, looking at restricting who can actually take those objections to those who have a genuine interest. If you have a genuine interest, of course you should be able to challenge it, but not an objection for the sake of it. And you get different people making objections. Unfortunately, we've come across cases where people are objecting just to make money. That's a fraud. But you also get some people who just are opposed to any kind of development, and they're entitled to their ideology, but not to use the system to effectively weaponise to block homes being delivered.
In terms of the delivery of homes, can I ask your reaction to the ESRI and the Central Bank last week before the Housing Committee talking about the shortfall? So best case scenario, they said this year 34,000 homes, 37,000. Next year you need an average 54,000 per year.
We need an average of 54,000 homes per year. We need to get up to 50,000 and then 60,000, and taking a lot of steps so that we can make that real, if you like, step change to get to that. I think a lot of reports seem to be matching in around the ESRI, around that 34,000 mark. I think that we are coming off a much lower base from last year than we expected to be, a little over 30,000 last year. And that's going
Does
to make
it suggest
very difficult.
Housing for All is no longer a functioning plan? It failed, there's no other way to describe it other than a failure last year in terms of hitting its targets. It's going to be a failure this year. You know that. You've just accepted it. It's going to be a failure next year as well. Whether it possibly hits it the year after is anybody's guess at this stage.
So over the first 4 years of the lifetime of Housing for All, it did actually just about exceed its overall targets. Disappointing delivery last year, other years we're ahead of target. So on balance, but it is very challenging to move up to the, if you like, the future targets. There's no question about that, coming off a much lower base last year than expected.
So does it need radical revision?
It needs, well, we'll be bringing out a new plan this summer, so we will. And we're looking at those numbers and how we can achieve them. But how you get, rather than a radical revision, is a radical change in how we do that delivery. Mm. Clearing out all of these exemptions is one part of it. Extending the planning permissions, which I did last week, is another part. We'll be bringing a decision on rent pressure zones will be made within the week. And we'll also have other very significant decisions over the coming weeks as well. And all of that will add up to a package of, I think, radical change in how we deliver our homes in this country. Because we need to, I'm pro-building homes in this country. And yeah, we need to get back to what we were good at. Not getting rid of the important lessons we learned, not making the same old mistakes, but mm-hmm. I do think we overcorrected in this country from, if you like, bad decisions made in the past. We've created so many gateways that it's almost impossible to make a bad decision now, because it's almost impossible to make a decision. And we want to get that a more proactive place where we can make the decisions to
so
build the homes we
need. So free up the hands of developers a little bit?
You free up the decision-making process, yeah, if you like, because that's what's holding developers back. They're not looking for, if you like, to bypass planning decisions. It's the slowness in which it is, and there's yeah. so many.
But if you solve, and look, these are problems you've inherited, you know. But you know, you are the housing minister, and uneasy lies the head, and all of that. But you deal with the planning issues, and you still have kind of maybe a lack of zoned land. You've got viability of apartment building in particular; that's a big problem. You've got the departure of international finance, which we're going to rely on to inject about 20 billion euro into the house building over, well, every year, really, given the state's putting in about 6 billion. And then you've got labour shortages as well and those constraints. So, you know, you solve the planning issue, you still have all those other problems and all those other barriers to hitting those targets.
You're absolutely correct. There are very serious other barriers, and we're working on each of those. So the new national planning framework has been passed through both houses of the Oireachtas a few weeks ago. And in 4 weeks' time, I'll be writing to every CEO to say you must now zone a significant amount of additional land. It'll be approximately double reach local authority. You will vary from local authority based on need. Mm. And that will bring competition back in as well, because we're seeing land prices now that has zoning really creeping up way too high and increasing that viability piece. We want competition for zoned land, and we will be doing that through the national planning framework. And that should, local authorities would then be asked to open up their county development plans. So we should have additional zoned land right across this country, very significant amounts by autumn. In terms of international finance, we're looking, as I said, to be decisions made around rent pressure zones. I want to protect existing renters. Yeah. We also have
there has to be a change. There's no question about that, is what you said to the Irish Examiner last week. What does that mean?
If we do nothing, rent pressure zones effectively wither at the end of this year, at the end of December, and we go back to market rents across the entire country. I'm not allowing that to happen. Renters are very fearful that that would happen. I can tell you it won't be happening. But we have to look at the rent controls we have, and are they stymieing delivery of additional?
And you think they are?
I think if you look at it, there's no question. There's definitely a correlation. I have the housing agency report. I've studied that. And we'll be making a decision at government within the week in relation to that. And it's about finding that balance. I want to protect existing renters, but also those renters are at home in their parents' spare bedrooms who want to get out, get the supply so they can get out and rent somewhere. Yeah. And the other piece then, that will, certainty there will help international finance. We're not going to make renters close that yield gap, the profitability gap.
Yeah.
But even just given the certainty will help international finance. We then have to close that yield gap. That will require other measures to get international finance involved. In relation to labour, modern yeah. methods of construction are really important there. Nobody's becoming a block layer anymore. It's a tough job. I wouldn't blame anybody for not taking up that role. But how you then create, through modern methods of construction, you can create new ways, and that's already happening in Ireland, of building those walls. I've seen, for example, in Hong Kong only a couple of months ago, 45-storey high-quality apartment block coming off the back of a ship and just put together in piece by piece. That's reality, because you're not going to have that labour, and there's no yeah. way to get it back.
Before I let you go, then, there'll be people listening to this sitting in traffic, backed up. I think the latest update we had was from the Walkinstown Junction on the Long Mile Road all the way down to Rathcoole because of this protest over prospective plans for the state to buy City West outright for long-term housing of asylum seekers and refugees. What do you say to those people who are blocking the roads?
I'd say peaceful protest is an important part of our democratic society. I would say make sure to keep it peaceful and don't be disturbing people's trying to get about their business. You know, people are trying to get home, they're trying to get back to their families. They're stuck in commutes. They don't want to be there. They want to be back with their families. So I always say, look, do protest. I never object to anybody protesting in a peaceful manner. I think it's an important part of our society. But interfering with other people's lives on a daily basis, that's not going to achieve anything.
I'm Minister for Housing, James Ryan. Minister, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.